20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Happy Tuesday. Welcome in to an all new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on X at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. A ton of great content coming out for you guys. A ton of free agency stuff. Ross Uglum is killing it with the draft stuff. We've got our audio episodes coming out every single day. If you are subscribed to the audio edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, wherever you get your favorite podcasts, you're basically getting like 3-4 episodes a day right now. Plus, if you're a Pack-A-Day Podcast member, you're getting bonus episodes, live Q&As. There is so much stuff. And this is like one of the best times to be a fan. You've got free agency coming up next week. You've got the draft coming up right after that. Then we get to break down all the players that the Packers selected, OTAs, mini camps, training camps. Before you know it, it's going to be week one of the regular season. And all of this is just going to fly by so incredibly fast. So now is the best time to subscribe, like, comment, become a Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member, because there is stuff all over the place that is so fun to break down, and it should be an incredibly exciting offseason. No better place than to get your coverage than the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Appreciate your support as always. I actually want to start today by making an amendment to yesterday's episode a little bit, and that is that a couple of you pointed out in the comments that you were hoping Zach Moss was on the list. And when I saw Zach Moss, as I was kind of going through the free agents, I'm just going to be totally transparent. I've never been a huge Zach Moss guy. Devin Singletary also was a player that a couple people had pointed out. I'm also going to say it. I was never really a big Devin Singletary guy. I think Singletary ultimately just lands back in Houston too, which is another reason I did not put him on the list. But I should have put Zach Moss on that list. So just a really quick breakdown of Moss. 5'9", 205-pound running back. Currently with the Indianapolis Colts, unrestricted free agent, of course, had 183 carries, 794 yards, a 4.3 yard average, 5 touchdowns, 25 catches, 192 yards, another 2 touchdowns, and no fumbles. Had a very nice season with the Colts this past season. He never really got on track in Buffalo, had the opportunity to do that in Indianapolis and kind of showed out and showed what he was capable of. I think this is probably a player that might have a little bit more value, maybe even just staying in Indy or maybe with another team, than he would potentially in Green Bay. But we did hear Brian Gutekunst say that they'd like a little bit of power. Zach Moss has that, even though he's 5'9", 205. He runs behind his pads very, very well. And this is an interesting option to tag along or tag team with Aaron Jones. I think what you'd probably be looking at here with Zach Moss is a situation where you go into free agency and say, we don't really want to spend big on a running back, and we're going to go into the draft. You get through the draft, maybe you spend like a 5th-round pick on a running back, but we're maybe hoping to address it a little bit more aggressively. You get through the draft and you look at your depth chart and it's like, we got Aaron Jones, we've got Emmanuel Wilson, we've got Ellis Merriweather, we've got a 5th-round pick, but that's really not enough. And they look at the free agency list post-draft and they say, oh, Zach Moss is out there. And I think that would be the time where you maybe take a closer look at Zach Moss, but should have been on that list yesterday. Thank you to those of you who pointed him out. And he would be a potential solid option to be that number two behind Aaron Jones if the situation was right and if they did get through free agency in the draft and didn't really address it in the way that they were hoping for. That's when I think Zach Moss could come and play if he were still available at that point in time. All right, but today's main topic is going to be the linebacker position in free agency. I think we have to start, per usual, with what you currently have at off-ball linebacker. As I'm recording this right now, Devondre Campbell is still on the team. Brian Gutekunst, when talking about David Bakhtiari, says he doesn't really like doing things until he has to. I have a feeling that that's probably something similar that's going on with Devondre Campbell right now. This is such an interesting one to me. For me, it is clear and obvious as day that it's time to go in a different direction with Devondre Campbell. He has not lived up to the contract. There are significant savings, not this year, but over the course of this year and next year, by releasing Devondre. I think it's time for Quay to take that next step and kind of be the guy. There was sort of like a weird falling out, it felt like, between Devondre and the Packers last year. Just all of it combined feels like, all right, time to go in a different direction. And I do still assume that that is what they are going to do. But Green Bay also doesn't like taking a ton of dead cap on a player that you don't get a ton of savings for in that direct season. My prediction still is that he's gone. But as we're recording right now, he is still on the lineup. Keep an eye out for that. They have Quay Walker. They've got Isaiah McDuffie and not a whole heck of a lot else at off-ball linebacker right now. They're going to a 4-3. I still don't expect a ton of base, but if Campbell is gone, you're looking at an off-ball linebacker group that basically consists of Quay Walker and Isaiah McDuffie. And for me, first of all, that's not good enough just as a 1-2 punch. I know McDuffie has the experience in the Jeff Hafley defense at Boston College and things like that. That to me doesn't make it like, oh, now he's the number two linebacker. To me, you want McDuffie at best as a number three. I'd ideally like him as number four. I'd ideally like Quay as a number two. I think you need a number one and a number three on this off-ball linebacker group. And you still need to build depth around this position as well, because you really don't have any right now. You'd love to get younger. You'd love to get faster, more talented. All those things would be great, but you kind of have to go through the offseason, see what you can get in free agency, see what you can get in the draft, and see where that position ultimately ends up. We're also looking at a position that, you look at some of these teams, San Francisco 49ers, who are so, you know, dominant through the great majority of the season and obviously didn't win the Super Bowl, but their off-ball linebackers, Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, were a huge piece of why that defense was so successful through the course of the season. The Baltimore Ravens and their defense, Patrick Queen, Roquan Smith, flying around the ball. That was such a huge reason why they were so good on defense. Some of these top defenses had really, really good off-ball linebackers, and that was really a catalyst to them being a really good defense. We haven't seen that step from Quay yet. Now, a lot of times with off-ball linebackers, you usually start to see that around year three or year four. Somebody that we're going to talk about today, Patrick Queen, was exactly in that mold. His first couple years, very similar, almost eerily similar to Quay Walker, struggled. And then Patrick Queen, year three and year four, you saw a pretty distinct progression after the game slowed down for him a little bit at that point. You're hoping that that's going to be the case for Quay Walker, but there's no guarantee there. And again, you just need more bodies, more depth, more competition, and ideally kind of like a legit number one starter, or at least a number two to tag team with Quay and be your two primary off-ball linebackers. Assuming, again, that Devondre Campbell is not that guy, or at least the Packers don't think he's that guy. I don't, but you know, we did see an all-pro season from, you know, Devondre just a few years ago. So it's not out of the realm of possibility entirely that he's back. I just think this is a position that you probably need to address. They, I'm sure, are going to address this position in the draft, probably with a couple different draft picks, but you never know how the board is going to fall. And if you do want to address this prior to the draft, so you're not drafting for need, then you might want to address it via free agency. And there are a interesting group of free agents that they could consider. And I'm going to start today's list with Frankie Louvu, a Andy Herman and Mike Wall favorite at off-ball linebacker. 6'3", 236 from the Carolina Panthers, is 27 years old, turns 28 in September, was an undrafted free agent in 2018, had a 3.91 relative athletic score. Contract projection is 3 years, $30 million, $10 million per season. PFF grades over the last 3 years, 80.0, 74.8, and 84.8. In 2023, he had 125 tackles, 5.5 sacks, which is really good for an off-ball linebacker, 10 tackles for loss, no picks, 2 forced fumbles, no fumble recoveries. In coverage, when targeted, he gave up 38 of 51 passes that were completed, 74.5% completion percentage, 371 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, 107.6 passer rating, did miss 22 tackles for a 15.3% missed tackle percentage. But here's sort of my scouting report here on Frankie Louvu, a very, very physical off-ball linebacker. He is a fantastic blitzer. He will meet runners in the hole with physicality. He will meet offensive linemen in the hole with physicality. He has the ability to get up on an offensive lineman and actually shed that offensive lineman, which is something that Green Bay has not had in a hot second. He does struggle a little bit in coverage. We saw that with the numbers that we just went over from a coverage standpoint, 74.5% completion percentage, 107.6 passer rating. He will be 28 years old. This is not a 25-26 that has, you know, 3 clean years under that age of 30 yet. He's 28. If you sign him to a 3-year deal, you're getting him 28, 29, and 30. It's not the end of the world, but he is a little bit older than some of the other linebackers on this list. Missed tackles and coverage are the huge areas of weakness. He is a high-end, what I would consider a high-end platoon linebacker. I don't know that you want Frankie Louvu out there, you know, on every single snap on defense. And that's going to be a bit of a problem if you're paying him $10 million per season. The nice thing is he is a very good early down defender. And if you do have him on the field in passing downs, he is a very good blitzer as well. And that is evidenced by not only the 5.5 sacks, but he had a good pressure rate and is able to use that physicality usually when teams are scheming him up well to get on, you know, running backs. We know the backers on backs equals sacks mentality. Frankie Louvu is a great example of that and could be used as a blitzer as well, even if he is on the field on passing downs. I do think he fits very nicely next to Quay Walker. Quay Walker is going to be your faster linebacker, sideline to sideline. Ideally, your thought process there is a little bit better in coverage. Frankie Louvu is going to be your annihilator. He's going to be your physical guy. He's going to be a guy that can take on those blocks to hopefully free up Quay to be a little bit more of the playmaker. I like that tag team idea. The issue here is that you're overpaying for a semi-older player that is probably, even if he's either one of two things, he's either a part-time player or he's a full-time player, but he's when he's on the field, he's going to struggle with in coverage and there's going to be some mismatches that the other team is just going to take advantage of. And when you're paying that much money for an off-ball linebacker, you kind of want your cake and eat it too. And you want a player that's a little bit more well-rounded. And that's coming from somebody who loves Frankie Louvu and what he would bring to the team. What Green Bay is missing is that physicality. It's the hard hitting. It's the mentality. It's somebody who can take on blocks. And Frankie Louvu checks every one of those boxes. But for a pretty decent sized contract, you're hoping that he can do some of that, but also cover, not have the missed tackle issues, hopefully be a little bit younger. And he does not check those boxes. So for me, it's a little bit of an overpay for a linebacker who I love, but maybe you're not getting the full ROI because there are some of those holes in his game overall. Next on the list, Patrick Queen, 6 foot, 230-pound linebacker for the Ravens, 24 years old, will turn 25 in August is what I talk about being a little bit younger. Patrick Queen is such a great example of that. First round pick in 2020, 8.07 relative athletic score coming out. Of course, if you get a younger player coming from that dynamic Ravens defense, and I mentioned he made one of the best 1-2 linebacker combos in football, that's going to amount to a big contract. His expected contract, 4 years, $72.5 million, $18.13 million per season. PFF grades the past 3 years, 73.0, 69.7, and 43.5. Last year, he had 133 tackles, 3.5 sacks, 9 tackles for loss, a pick, a forced fumble, no fumble recoveries. In coverage when targeted, quarterbacks were 68 of 85, 80% completion percentage, 551 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, a 96.6 passer rating, 24 missed tackles, still a little bit high, 14.6%, does have 1 Pro Bowl under his belt. The really nice thing for Patrick Queen is, we kind of talked about this earlier, he's gotten better year after year after year after year, and he played his best football, in my opinion, in 2023. Made up one of the league's best linebacker duos, as we mentioned, with Roquan Smith, a key part of that Ravens success on defense, physical at the point of attack. This is somebody that, not too dissimilar from Frankie Louvu, he will come up and he will pop you. He will crush a running back. He will hold up at the point of attack against offensive linemen, and they are going to feel Patrick Queen's presence. And that's been one of the huge growing aspects of Patrick Queen over the course of the past few seasons. Thought he came into the league a little bit more finesse. He's got a lot more power in his game, and that's been a huge area of growth for him. He has a different style of football than what we've seen again from Green Bay, very similar to Frankie Louvu, that Green Bay is just needed. They need more physicality at that spot. Patrick Queen is going to bring that. I do love his fit next to Quay Walker, probably better than any other, you know, linebacker on this list. You get some of that physicality and run stopping and early down pop that you need next to Quay. But I also think he's there on passing downs and he can play that as well. And now you've got two really physically gifted, fast linebackers on the field at all times. And that is a huge advantage. You don't necessarily want to be able to or have to platoon players at that position. You'd love if Quay and Queen could just be on the field at the same time, all the time. I love the fit. I think they'd be a really good 1-2 tandem together and probably for hopefully the next 3-4 years if things go well, if you did go in that direction. The thing here is, again, when you get the younger player, huge year coming off of that Ravens stellar defense and somebody that, you know, all the things I just mentioned, every other team is looking at and saying, yeah, we'd like to have that too. It's going to net a big contract, an 18.13 mil per season, probably out of Green Bay's range for what they want to spend. He's also what I would call a really good player, but not an elite player. And if you're going to give him an elite contract, you would really like an elite player. I still think there's room for him to become that elite player because he has gotten better year after year after year, but you're projecting a little bit there that he's going to become that, or you just ultimately overpay a really good player and you're going to end up paying him as a great player. And there's always just going to be a little bit of a discrepancy. Love the age, love the consistent improvement, love the player, great fit. It's just when you get all those other things, the contract's going to be huge, and that probably doesn't fit for Green Bay. Next up on the list is a name that's been in the league for some time. That is Bobby Wagner, one of the best linebackers that we've seen over the past couple decades. 6'2", 242 linebacker from the Seahawks. He is 33 years old. He will turn 34 in June. That is NFL old. That is very NFL old. And that is something that Green Bay is going to have to consider if they would want to go in this direction. Second round pick in 2012. In 2012, he was a second round pick. 9.67 relative athletic score coming out. 1 year, $4 million deal is what they're projecting for him. So with that age, again, you get an older player. You hear Bobby Wagner, you get excited. Oh man, he'd be a great fit. But when you're turning 34 years old, that's going to drive that price down. You're probably looking at just a 1 year deal, mercenary type hire, and like probably that $4, $5, maybe $6 million range if some team is really interested in his services. But here's the thing. He's played really great football. His PFF grades the past three seasons, 82.4 last year, 90.7 the year before that, and a 71.8 the year before that. Listen to this one. Had 183 tackles this past year, 183. 3.5 sacks, 11 tackles for loss, no picks, no forced fumbles, one fumble recovery. In coverage, was a little bit susceptible here, 49 of 60 when targeted, 81.7%, 515 yards, two touchdowns, no picks, a 113.5 passer rating. So that coverage is starting to go a little bit, and that kind of gets worse with age. You're not as quite as fleet of foot, not able to stick with some of those faster, younger players. Only 9 missed tackles. So he had 183 tackles, only missed 9, 4.8% missed tackle percentage. In his career, he's a 9-time Pro Bowler, 6-time first team All-Pro, 4-time second team All-Pro. He has had a Hall of Fame career, a tackling machine, still plays the run incredibly well. And you add that to the fact that he's probably getting a fairly reasonable contract and you maybe don't mind it quite as much. He's still one of the smartest and best linebackers to play in the game. His instincts are off the chart. His ability to read and diagnose exactly what's going on, have the green dot on his helmet. He'd be probably a perfect one-year mentor to Quay Walker to hopefully have him take that step. That's one of the reasons I really wouldn't hate it. But we talked about the coverage, and you don't really ever want to bet on older linebackers. 34 is old. I still have flashbacks to this day. Michael Vick versus Hardy Nickerson. Hardy Nickerson just had nothing left. It looked like he was running without knees. It was a nightmare. And Bobby Wagner is nowhere near end of career Hardy Nickerson, but older linebackers start that, like, everything starts to go at some point. And you got to figure that that portion of it is probably coming right around the corner for Bobby Wagner, even though he's fit very, very well with the Seahawks this past season. I don't know how well he fits Green Bay's timeline. I'm not sure that they're at the one-year mercenary hire aspect of trying to go and win right now, but I do like that mentorship aspect with Quay Walker and think the 1-2 punch there could be really good, even if it was just for one season. I think that defensive experience could be exactly what the defense needs overall. And even just set aside that mentorship aspect, I do think Bobby Wagner and Quay Walker would team very, very well together. Their skill sets complement each other well. So that could be another direction if Green Bay was willing to take an older player on a one-year type of contract and have to sort of be a little bit nervous that that decline could be right around the corner. All right, Jordan Brooks is next. 6'2", 240-pound linebacker from the Seahawks. 26 years old, will turn 27 in October. Was a first-round pick in 2020. Did not have a relative athletic score, did not test. The expected contract here is 3 years, $36 million, $12 million per year. PFF grades, 57.3, 52.8, and 58.4 over the last three seasons. This past year, 111 tackles, 4.5 sacks, 8 tackles for loss, 1 pick, 1 forced fumble, 1 fumble recovery. When targeted, quarterbacks had an 83.6% completion percentage, 526 yards, no touchdowns, 1 pick, a 93.2 passer rating, did miss 21 tackles for a 16.5% missed tackle percentage. Never really lived up to the first round building. He has gotten better year after year, but it's been much smaller incremental increases than what we've seen from Patrick Queen. it's one of the reasons that Seattle brought back Bobby Wagner is because Jordan Brooks did not really take that step as they were hoping that he would. And if that's a player that you're getting, is this sort of like, okay, fine, he's been taking these little steps here and there, but at 12 mil per season, the value there is just really, really poor, especially compared to some of the other linebackers that we've already talked about this past year. 27 years old. He probably is who he is at this point. I don't know that there's going to be a huge developmental upside when you kind of get to that age. You're just sort of who you are. It's not to say that some older players in the past haven't taken this jump out of nowhere, but more often than not, you're kind of developed at that point. The rumor was in that draft that the Packers did like him quite a bit. Now, not enough to take him because he was there and the Packers decided to move up for Jordan Love, in hindsight, rightfully so. But there was a lot of buzz that the Packers really liked Jordan Brooks coming out of that draft. The thing here is that we already talked about the value, but I also don't love the pairing with Quay. What you get with Quay is a pretty decent level of inconsistency and not knowing what you're always going to get down in and down out. What you're going to get with Jordan Brooks is a pretty big level of inconsistency and not knowing what you're going to get down in and down out. I think it's too much chaos. I think it's too much inconsistency, and that's not probably the direction I would go with Jordan Brooks next to Quay Walker. All right, next is Azeez El-Shaahir, linebacker for the Tennessee Titans. 6'2", 228 pounds, 26 years old, will turn 27 in August, was an undrafted free agent in 2019, did not have a relative athletic score. 3 years, $20.25 million, $6.75 mil per year is the projected contract. 64.7, 74.4, and 63.5 PFF scores over the past three seasons. Last year, 163 tackles, two sacks, nine tackles for loss, zero interceptions, no forced fumbles, one fumble recovery. Quarterbacks went 44 of 57 for 77.2% completion percentage, 390 yards, one touchdown, no picks, 22 missed tackles for a 12.3% missed tackle percentage. This is another attacking physical inside linebacker, off-ball linebacker. Once again, plays with a level of physicality that Green Bay could really, really use on that second level. He's a nice blend of being a what I think would be an upgrade at off-ball linebacker, but also not breaking the bank with this big exorbitant contract in free agency. You are getting what I consider a solid but unspectacular player. But if you want a spectacular player, you got to sign up and pay a lot more for a player like even like Patrick Queen, who I think is a great player, but maybe not an elite level player. And that you're probably playing. And then this is where we could get into the whole discussion of free agency and why those first handful of days in free agency, Green Bay usually doesn't get involved in because you are usually overpaying for players at a lot of different levels of this free agency period. I think with Shaahir, I think it's a good contract. I think Green Bay could go in that direction. I think you would pair nicely with not only Quay Walker, but Isaiah McDuffie. I think the three of them could make a pretty decent three linebacker group in an off-ball situation. He did play with the 49ers with Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner. So that attacking style defense at that time hopefully carries over to what Jeff Hafley wants to do with this defense. For an early down linebacker and somebody who has that level of physicality, his coverage numbers were not terrible. And I kind of like his fit overall, even if I do believe it might be a little bit of an overpay. This is a player I could see fitting. I like the level of physicality, cheaper than Luvu, a lot cheaper than Patrick Queen. He's kind of like the discount version of that. And that could be exactly where Green Bay usually likes to go shopping, is kind of on the discount rack in free agency. But there is some upside here for El-Shaahir. Next on my list is Blake Cashman, 6'1", 237-pound linebacker from the Texans, 27 years old. He will turn 28 in May. A fifth-round pick in 2019, a 9.54 relative athletic score coming out of college. 2 years, $8.5 million, $4.25 mil per year is the projection here. Had a 82.1 PFF grade last year in his first real designated time as a consistent off-ball linebacker, meaning he actually got playing time. He had a 54.0 grade and a 29.1 grade in the 2 years prior, but did not play a ton in either of those seasons. In 2023, Cashman had 106 tackles, two sacks, nine tackles for loss, one pick, no forced fumble, one fumble recovery. Quarterbacks went 44 of 60, 73.3%, 347 yards, two touchdowns, one pick, 91.5 passer rating, had 12 missed tackles for a 9.4% missed tackle rate. I thought he had his best season of his career by far, playing under D'Amico Ryans in 2023. I think he's kind of like a really nice linebacker, just hiding in plain sight. I thought he had a really nice year. It looked like the game slowed down for him in 2023, kind of finally at age 27. This was really the first significant playing time of his career, and he made the most of it. He tested as an extremely high-end athlete coming out of college. The other really nice thing with Cashman, he played 419 snaps of special teams over the past two seasons and played special teams at a very high level. I think this would be a very smart play for Green Bay. At worst, your worst case scenario here, you're probably getting somebody that could be that number three off-ball linebacker, and you're getting a complete stud as a core special teams guy, and you're getting a player that I think has upside to be an even better starter. If he played like he did last season, you get a really good starter at a pretty cheap cost, $4.25 million per year, 2 years, $8.5 million, not that much money. This would be a sneaky, nice free agent signing for Green Bay. I don't think it changes your defense. I don't think you should add Blake Cashman with the idea of like, all right, we're good to go. Like, he's going to be our savior at off-ball linebacker. But if you're going a little bit more bargain shopping and want to have value, getting somebody like Cashman who can probably play on defense, have a specified role, has upside to maybe even be a starter right alongside Quay Walker. And if even everything does not go well at linebacker, he can still be probably one of the best special teams players on your team. I think it gives you pretty good insurance that even if he doesn't turn out on, from a defensive standpoint, the way that you were hoping, you still get value on that contract. So Blake Cashman, definitely somebody on my list that Green Bay should ultimately consider here in free agency. All right, a few more left. Jordan Hicks is the next one. 6'1", 236-pound linebacker for the Vikings. 31 years old. He will turn 32 in June. Third-round pick in 2015. 9.35 relative athletic score coming out. 1 year, $4 million deal is the projection here. 74.6, 66.7, and 62.9 PFF grades. In 2023, he had 107 tackles, one sack, four tackles for loss, one pick, one forced fumble, and two fumble recoveries. Last year in coverage, quarterbacks went 34 of 41 against him, 82.9% completion percentage, which is not great. 402 yards, two touchdowns, one pick, and a 113.6 passer rating. Had 11 missed tackles for an 8.9% missed tackle percentage. Has been extremely reliable throughout the course of his career. Did go out last year with sort of a freak issue, but then ended up coming back at the end of the year. But overall, through the course of his career, very consistent. Consistent tackler in the middle of the field. Relatively cheap contract, but with that comes the age. He's going to be 32 in June and has never been this like super high-end stud. I do like the fact that he comes from that Brian Flores attacking defense. I think that fits well. I think he would be a pretty nice tandem with Quay Walker. This is sort of my very, we talked about it with Zach Moss a little bit. I talked about it with Tashawn Gibson of the 49ers. Is this is one of those players where, let's say you release Devondre Campbell, you've got Isaiah McDuffie, you've got Quay Walker, you go into the draft or you go into free agency, nothing really works out. You go into the draft hoping to address it, and maybe you grab again a couple day two or excuse me, a couple day three draft picks, but it doesn't really fill out the roster the way that you want. And you look out there, Jordan Hicks is still out there. Really nice player, has consistently played well. Don't think he always gets the flowers that he deserves for his level of play. It'd be like a nice end of free agency signing if he's still out there to kind of fill a hole if you did in fact still have a hole towards the end of free agency and after the draft. All right, next on my list is Tyrell Dodson. Had a 90.2 PFF grade in 589 snaps. He was the highest graded linebacker by PFF this past season. Let's do our normal breakdown here. 6 foot tall, 237 pounds, 25 years old, turns 26 in June, was an undrafted free agent in 2019 with a 6.75 relative athletic score. The projection here, though, is a 1 year, $3.25 million deal. Would not surprise me if he got more. As mentioned, a 90.2 PFF grade last year. Prior to that, and he hadn't played a whole ton, but 48.4 and 58.8 grades. In 2023, he had 74 tackles, 2.5 sacks, 8 tackles for loss, no picks, 1 forced fumble, 1 fumble recovery. In coverage, QBs went 27 of 32 for 84.4% completion percentage, 212 yards, 1 touchdown, no picks, 104.7 passer rating. Did have 13 missed tackles for a 13.7 missed tackles percentage. The thing here for Dodson is he went better and better and got better and better as the season went along. 90.2, as mentioned, was PFF's best grade for any off-ball linebacker this past season. Only has 1,063 career snaps, so not a lot of wear and tear on his body from his overall career so far. Also, added bonus here, 962 career special team snaps. That would be huge to add that type of special teams talent as a core special teamer here, with the potential upside to be a upgrade at linebacker as well. I do think there's a questionable fit here with Isaiah McDuffie and Quay Walker. You're looking for that maybe more physical piece, and Dodson is not that. A little bit undersized, speed option, coverage option. That's what you're getting with Tyrell Dodson, not that physical intense player that you might need to pair next to Quay Walker and Isaiah McDuffie. You would get him on a decent contract, in my opinion. Still only 26 years old, so there is some upside there too. And as I mentioned, finally got the playing time last year and responded to it in a major way. But this is another one of those Blake Cashman type signings where you have upside for him to maybe break out and be a really good player. If not, he's a rotational linebacker and a core special teamer, and there's a lot of value in that as well. All right, last but not least, I have Devin White on my list. I know a player that a lot of people are really hoping that Devin White will become a member of the Green Bay Packers. Spoiler alert, I am not one of them. 6 foot, 237-pound linebacker from the Bucs. This is the crazy thing. He just turned 26 years old. Devin White feels like he's been playing for forever at this point. He just turned 26. Was a first-round pick in 2019, fifth overall, 9.32 relative athletic score coming out. There's no question about his athletic ability. The projection here is a one-year, $7 million deal. His PFF grades, last 3 years, 47.4, 43.7, 35.1. His best PFF grade ever was as a rookie with a 51.9 grade. Last year, he had 83 tackles, 2.5 sacks, 5 tackles for loss, 2 interceptions, no forced fumbles, no fumble recoveries. QBs went 32 of 45, 71.1% completion percentage, 354 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 picks, and an 83.0 passer rating. Had 10 missed tackles, a 10.6% missed tackle percentage, a one-time Pro Bowler, a one-time second-team All-Pro. The thing here with Devin White, he is the definition of inconsistency. He will ad-lib, he will go off script, he will not live up to his assignment, he will not always do his job, and maybe Jeff Hafley is the guy to completely figure it out and give him a role where he can just read and react and do his own thing. That's a tough thing to build your defense around. And if you're going to do that, you might want to give Quay Walker that opportunity as well, because it's not like Quay Walker can be the steady guy next to the inconsistent, not quite sure what you're ever going to get, Devin White. I think that pairing would be a bit of trouble with the inconsistency from both of them. Now, both linebackers, Quay and Devin White, insanely athletic, flying around the field. You would love to see that. It's just the assignment sure stuff and the ad lib stuff and just kind of going rogue and doing his own thing. He got benched in 2023. Here's what Bucs writer Scott Reynolds said at the end of last season. White has just about self-destructed his own career. It's not gone great for Devin White as of late. And what you're doing here is you're overpaying for, you know, draft pedigree and overall athleticism, and just the football players never quite matched the level of expectations that people have had for him. I think it's a disaster waiting to happen with Devin White and Quay Walker as the second level of your linebacking core, and probably would be my least favorite option of, not probably, be my least favorite option of anyone that we've discussed so far today. A couple other options that are out there. Don't think we need to dig into them because I don't think they're, you know, any of them are high level options. Lavonte David, Willie Gay, and Drew Tranquil are also all out there. Those are players that Green Bay could theoretically look into as well. The options I like, Blake Cashman. I think that, again, mix of solid overall linebacker, solid contract, core special teamer, had his best season last year. Can you carry that over and could he be a nice player for the next couple seasons for you? Perry next to McDuffie and Walker, and hopefully you get some guys in the draft as well. Tyrell Dodson, sort of same thing, but in a different way. Not the perfect fit, but you add another linebacker to your room. He's good in coverage. Him and Quay definitely could play that nickel defense together. And then you also get somebody that has a lot of special teams experience there as well. So even if with Cashman and Dodson, if the linebacker stuff doesn't go according to plan, you still have a core special teamer on your hand with either of those guys. Azeez El-Shaahir would be the other guy that I think, from a cost standpoint, is maybe that Goldilocks candidate where he fits the contract, he fits the play style, he fits the defense, and maybe, just maybe, that fit is just right for Azeez El-Shaahir. That is going to do it for me today, though, guys. Hope you enjoy these free agent breakdowns. I've got one left We already did safeties. We already did running backs. Today we did off-ball linebackers, and we've got one more left for corners, primarily focusing on slot corners, but maybe a couple outside corners sneaking in there as well. Huge shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, and Bremen. Appreciate you guys a ton. Appreciate all of you for being here. Check out those memberships. Subscribe to the podcast. I'll see you tomorrow. Until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.